It's just gone 8:15 here on Breakfast. 8:15 on a Thursday. My goodness. Michael, that means it's time for you to come in and do movie reviews.
Yes, well, that's what I usually do at this time of the morning on a Thursday. Hi, Felix, how are you?
I'm going well, yourself?
I'm pretty good. Felix, today we're going on a couple of journeys.
I've seen the trailers for what we're going through, and I'm curious, Michael.
Inspired by some classic literature
some
as well.
Some very classic literature. You correctly picked me when you walk into the studio as a book person who caught on to what's going on in these films.
Yes.
We've got Antoinette and the Cévennes and a sci-fi film called Voyages.
Correct. We'll go with the French one. One first. This one was actually inspired by some writings by Robert Louis Stevenson, actually. Mm. Antoinette and the Cévennes. This one stars Lorraine Calamy, Benjamin Laverne, and Olivia Coate, and a donkey named Patrick.
That's the best news I've heard all morning.
Yes, it's written and directed by Caroline Vignal, whose only previous feature film was 2000's Girlfriends. This film, like I said before, it was inspired by Robert Louis Stevenson's Travels with a Donkey in the Cévennes. School teacher Antoinette, played by Calamy, is having an affair with one of her pupils' fathers, Vladimir, played by Laverne. But their plans for a summer rendezvous are thrown into disarray when Vladimir's wife, played by Coate, books the family on a trek in the Cévennes region. Antoinette is devastated, but does she do the logical thing and just wait for her lover to return to Paris from the week-long trek? Of course she doesn't. Totally ill-prepared, Antoinette books herself on a trek in the same region, hoping to accidentally bump into Vladimir along the way.
And chaos ensues, I'm sure.
Could well do. It all sounds a bit obsessive and stalky, and at first it's difficult to find any empathy with Antoinette, the Scarlet Woman. But the gentle charm and humour of this film soon starts to emerge through Antoinette's encounters and sometimes hilariously awkward conversations with fellow trekkers once her true motivations for being on the scenic trail are revealed. Some find it quite romantic and offer her encouragement, whilst others are less than impressed and suggest she should go back to Paris.
I imagine the story she tells them changes a bit each time it gets told as well.
Well, not so much, actually. It soon becomes an open secret along the trail that Antoinette's on the trail looking for her lover.
Somehow the information gets ahead of her. That's interesting.
Yeah, but it soon does become quite hard to dislike Antoinette, as she seems to be a bit of a hopeless romantic and quite guileless. I mean, there's a scene at the beginning of the film where she has her students singing this very romantic and highly inappropriate song to the parents. I mean, if that's not a dead giveaway that I'm having an affair with one of your dads. Well, maybe the kids didn't get it, but I'm surprised the parents didn't pick up on it.
Yep.
But will Antoinette find the man she thinks is the love of her life on this trek, or will it become more a journey of self-discovery? Lorraine Calamy gives such an awkward and vulnerable performance, you can't help but like Antoinette despite her flaws. Of course, Patrick, the stubborn, not quite as stupid as he looks donkey, is another source of humour throughout the film, teaching Antoinette many life lessons along the way. Also, it's rural France and it's summer and the scenery's beautiful, from the vast mountainous green landscapes to the rustic villages. There's really not much not to like about this frothy and light little French comedy. It's well worth taking the 93-minute journey with Antoinette in the Cévennes.
Now, not only have you sold that film well, but 93 minutes, I'm always a little encouraged when we can actually trim our stories down to something that packageable these days.
Yep, 93 minutes is the perfect length for a movie.
Mm-hmm.
This next film I'm going to talk about, slightly longer than 93 minutes, an hour 48 this one, Voyages.
Manageable, bearable.
This one stars Ty Sheridan, who's been in a couple of X-Men films. He was also in Ready Player One, so he might be familiar to you. Lily Rose Depp, that's a familiar surname. She's, of course, daughter of Johnny and Vanessa Paradis. That's quite a gene pool she's got there, and that's actually quite important in the film, because there are lots of very beautiful looking, they're supposed to be teenagers, but I suspect they're all in their early 20s.
Yeah.
Most recent film Vanessa Paradis has been in was Crisis. A guy called Fionn Whitehead is also in this film. He was in recent films like The Duke and Don't Tell a Soul, and Colin Farrell pops up, most recently seen in films like The Gentlemen, Widows, and Lobster. This film written and directed by Neil Berger. Not ringing any bells. Divergent or Limitless? Do they ring any bells with you?
Yeah, the name. I haven't actually seen a lot of those, but that's probably where I've seen his name crop up. He's had a bit of a repertoire, if I'm thinking of the right guy.
Yes. You probably are. Look, the year is 2063. The Earth's in crisis, ravaged by environmental destruction and pandemics. The decision is made to send a mission to a recently discovered planet which can support human life. But it will take 86 years to get there, so 30 genetically engineered children are bred to crew the mission, along with Richard, played by Colin Farrell, as their guardian. I'm just wondering if the planners had seen any of Colin Farrell's previous movies and knows what he gets up to. Look, the liftoff takes place when the kids are about 8, and everything runs smoothly for about 10 years, as you'd expect it would. But you've now got 30 highly intelligent and inquisitive teenagers and one adult in space. What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong?
Well,
I think of an airplane crashing an island mysteriously.
Well, and maybe not an airplane crash, but when Christopher, played by Sheridan, discovers that they're all being regularly drugged to keep them compliant and to inhibit some of the natural urges of teenagers, he and best friend Zach, played by Whitehead, decide to stop taking their medication. Soon the rest of the kids decide to stop taking their medication too. And soon after that, you've got Class of 84 or Lord of the Flies in Space, but this time with girls and raging hormones, minus the masturbation and the inconvenient erections. Sending 30 kids and Colin Farrell into space was a bad idea. Did the planners even think to check the psychological profiles of the sperm and egg donors to this program? I suspect not. And if you've even paid the scandest attention to US politics over the past 5 years, the speech patterns and manipulative behaviour of one of the characters in particular will be very, very familiar indeed. Now, will the kids exercise their newly discovered free will and possibly destroy each other and the mission, or will they stick to the mission and save humanity? You'll just have to watch and find out.
I suppose I will. It seems like there's been a long trend of these "we're leaving Earth to find another planet" sci-fi films at the moment, all with a similar bent. I think of Netflix's disastrous Another Life, which has nothing to do with its title, but was a comedy of a sci-fi drama. How does Voyager live up to this prolific subgenre at the moment? Is it worth it amongst the field of other escaping Earth sci-fi stories?
Well, I think it pretty much follows the same pattern. It pretty much lives down to it, actually. Look, if you're a fan of young adult fiction and somehow missed reading Lord of the Flies, then you'll find this film highly entertaining and maybe even a little bit scary. Mm. But if you've had any experience dealing with teenagers, Voyagers will be a fairly predictable journey with almost no surprising detours.
Yeah, it's a shame because, you know, you can have those retellings that do land, but it doesn't sound like Voyagers does. I might still check it out because your flowery prose, Michael, can always sell me on anything.
That's very generous of you.
But thank you so much for joining us here on Breakfast. And if you want to check out any of the information about those films, we'll have links up to ser.com.
Yes, and they both open in cinemas today.
Fantastic.